The 8th Annual Florida Surf Film Festival runs Friday, November 19th and Saturday, November 20th at the Atlantic Centre for the Arts in New Smyrna Beach. One of the films in the lineup is Waterman. It's a documentary about two-time Olympic gold medalist Duke Kahanamoku, known as the father of modern surfing. Well, joining me for more is Kevin Miller. He's co-founder and executive director of the Florida Surf Film Festival. Kevin, thanks for being here.
Absolutely. Good to be here. Thanks, Matthew.
And also joined by Isaac Halasima. He is the director of Waterman. Isaac, thanks so much as well.
Yeah, no problem. Glad to be here.
Well, first of all, Isaac, congratulations on the film. It's a fascinating story, and you've got a star-studded cast. What got you interested in telling the story of Duke Kahanamoku?
I guess it starts with a very unique connection. I guess you could say, God, I don't even know where to start when it comes to the connection. But my mom's brother lived in Hawaii and made the famous statue of Duke Kahanamoku on mm-hmm. the beach at Waikiki. And so that's my uncle. And then while she was there with my uncle in Hawaii, she met a Polynesian immigrant from Tonga, and that's how I came about. So in a weird way, it's like I kind of exist along with this statue in kind of a sideways chance. But I also, because of that connection, I grew up with the story of Duke, and I'd always known it. And one of the things is my career took off in directing that my uncle had suggested as I got older was to try to tell the story of Duke. Mm-hmm. And at his funeral, when he died in 2016, is when I decided to start chasing the story. Just decided to try to tell it.
Well, one of the things that struck me about the film, too, is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you mentioned the fact that there's a statue of Duke in, like, three countries around the world.
Yeah, that's my favorite question to kind of kick things off with, because it blows my mind that the country he represented so well in the Olympics and doing so much, like, people forget the U.S. was not known as a swimming country before mm-hmm. Duke Kahanamoku. But this country that he represented barely even knows him nowadays. He's barely coming up in conversations. And so it's one of the questions I like to start off with a lot of people is asking, like, how many American athletes do you know of that have statues and monuments dedicated to them in three different countries? Mm-hmm. And no one can ever give you an answer. And it's Duke with Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, two in the United States. He has the big statue at the Surfers Hall of Fame in Huntington Beach, too.
Well, the New Zealand and Australian connection is interesting to me, particularly my parents are from New Zealand and Australia, respectively. Why is it that he's venerated in those countries as well?
It's one of the things that, you know, a lot of Hawaiians will tell you that it's a funny argument, I guess you could say, between the Australians and New Zealands, where they'll tell you that surfing did exist, but he popularized it, I guess mm-hmm. is the best way to put it. He walked in there he was a world-class athlete. You know, it's Australia at the time was inviting athletes from all over the world to come in and just show them, because they were a newer country, especially in the time of Duke. Mm-hmm. And they were great at sports. And when they invited him in, it was actually to swim, but they'd heard of surfing, and he was the best at surfing at the time. It would be the same as hearing about this thing called surfing, and then it's Kelly Slater that shows up and decides to show you what to do, or John. And they're doing, like, you know, just wild things. And so that's what it was. And it caught fire in Australia and New Zealand in particular. Mm-hmm. New Zealand's connection is it's probably one of the ones I like even more, because it wasn't just showing surfing. It was actually helping the indigenous people see, how do I put it, gain pride in their own culture. Because when you read the news articles, especially in New Zealand, they're expecting Superman. They're expecting this superhero from America that was coming in and just, you know, was going to blow their minds. And when they saw him get off the plane, they were like, well, we got a lot of those. You know, like, you know, it's funny. They even say, it's like, he looks like a Maori. He looks like one of us. And he was met by the Maori chiefs, and Hawaiian and the Maori language are very similar. And so they were able to communicate with each other. And he actually helped bring a lot of pride to the New Zealanders, but the Maori, the indigenous in particular. And so it's just extremely unique. That's why the one in New Brighton was also special, because mm-hmm. that was the first time, you know, they saw it and they got to see one of their own that wasn't just celebrated. He celebrated throughout the world and he looked just like them. And so it was really, really a special moment in that sense too for them. So Australia, it was a sport that, I mean, the waves in Australia, anyone that surfs knows, you know, mm-hmm. it's a special place to do it. So of course it was going to catch on there in New Zealand. Yeah, so it makes sense to me that the monuments would be there.
And I love the fact that you have Jason Momoa narrating the film. How did you go about getting him to be part of the project?
the best way to put it would be the coconut wires, how they call it. we were doing the recreations of the special moments of Duke mm-hmm. in Makaha on the west side of Oahu, the Wild West of Oahu, as they like to call it. And that's where his connection happens. And as people caught the vision of what we were doing, they helped us eventually get connected to Jason. And, I mean, what are the odds that you'd be telling the story of, in my opinion, one of the most important Polynesians in history, but he was a Hawaiian, and one of the most famous Hollywood stars right now is a Hawaiian. The timing's unreal for something like this to happen the way it did.
Kevin, what stands out for you about this movie?
Well, it took on a topic that deserves a lot of attention. I think everybody's been waiting to see when we would get to see a seminal piece of, you know, Ken Burns-style documentary and, you know, really finally done about the father of modern surfing. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, the production team there hit it out of the park, and Isaac's feel for narrative and story and what counts in the story and how he dealt with Duke's, you know, Hawaiian heritage in basically, a very sensitive, you know, racial time during Hawaii's kind of turning, from war to war. I don't know. It just turned, for me, it really handled all those topics well.
Mm-hmm. Isaac, there's so much that's gone into this, and you referenced the recreations, which is one of my favorite part of the movie. You've got obviously historical footage as well, but then the dramatization of those key events, like his entry into the world of competitive swimming. How long has it taken you to put this together?
Oh, good heavens. That's where I probably should throw in my producers, because, man, they believed in me. That's for sure. So it's been a while. It took longer. Obviously, COVID kind of threw a monkey in the wrench of all things, but in a way for me, it gave me extra time to just refine some things. But, it's been a while. We shot originally in the middle of 2019, I'd say. That's when I traveled mm-hmm. to the main three countries for this. It's a special task to tell a story like this one, because you're talking about someone that's near and dear to the Hawaiians. And when it's that close and that important to someone, it's important on how you approach it. The fact that my producing team, it's Sidewinder Films, that I fell into their lap with this, where they're a nonprofit, actually I think helped us in the sense that, you know, this fit what they were going for, where they want to teach, they want to educate the world on people that are important. And for the Hawaiians, it wasn't someone walking in trying to profiteer off of one of their heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an important aspect. I think it helped that it was a Polynesian coming in. And then when we got there, you know, I've been working in this industry since I was 13. I started out as an actor, and I've been in TV shows and all these things my entire life. And yet when I was there in Makaha, this is the first time when we were doing the recreations of some of my favorite moments in Duke's story, and I'll tell you why we went in a second. It's the first time in my life I was sitting there with the crew, and I realized every single person working with me was Polynesian. And I'd never had that before. It was not something I'd aimed for. It was something that happened extremely organically. And I was like, wow, this is special. And then the Hawaiians, you could tell, they just got into it. I mean, when you're standing on the beach and you bring out a board that we had carved in the film, and it's something I use
mm-hmm.
artistically to say, it's kind of like symbolically shaping Duke's story as we're shaping a board throughout the whole storyline, is when you bring out a board with Duke's name on it on the beach, that doesn't happen. And people don't like seeing that happen, you know, unless there's a special moment. So when mm-hmm. it did, there was a hush on this huge beach. Everyone's felt it. And the recreations were important too, because, I mean, it's hard to put into words what Duke really did. And I'd say that the surprising factor of Duke for me in telling this story in general was he's become like a folk legend. You don't know what's true and what isn't true over time.
Mm-hmm.
And you almost don't want to ruin the cool stories, because it's like you don't want to take away. That's part of what makes it cool. But what blew my mind is how much of it is so just true that he did. And so recreating some of these stories was really just special and a lot of fun. It required a lot of faith on the part of my crew, because, I mean, we didn't have a massive budget, but luckily I came from music videos, and I'm kind of used to just getting dirty and making it still look good
mm-hmm.
no matter what it takes.
If you're just joining me, my guests are Isaac Halasima. He's the director of Waterman, which is a documentary about Duke Kahanamoku, the father of modern surfing. We're also speaking with Kevin Miller. He's the executive director of the Florida Surf Film Festival, which is where you can see Waterman. So, Kevin, I want to come back to you for a moment. What did you learn that was new about, as Isaac was saying, almost like a folk hero in the world of surfing? What sort of struck you as interesting or something you hadn't heard before about Duke Kahanamoku?
As a longtime surfer from Florida and, you know, somebody who doesn't necessarily pride myself on like a huge knowledge of history, I felt like his surfing in particular was at the forefront of skill at its time with the equipment that they had. If you watch Dwayne in the documentary do the recreation with the equipment that he's given, it's extremely difficult to ride those boards as well as he did. And, you know, to see the recreation and to imagine what Duke was actually doing with that equipment, just from a technical standpoint, you know, as a surfer, I thought that, you know, it was pretty impressive. And, you know, obviously all of the facts and the Hollywood career that Duke had kind of caught me off guard. I had no idea that his presence in Hollywood was such a big deal. And he kind of went from, you know, an Olympic athlete to a major presence in Hollywood for a while and then kind of went back to Hawaii. And, you know, things kind of dissipated at that point for him. And then you kind of, I always like to see what happens in somebody's life when the momentum of public opinion kind of dissipates. So that was the a good part of the story.
Have you ever tried surfing on one of those old school longboards carved from a piece of wood?
I have not. Isaac, how about you? Have you been on one of those?
Oh, dude, I am a disgrace to the Polynesian people when it comes to a surfboard. You don't want to know. I grew up as a dancer, so but you know, what's awesome about surfers, that's why I love that this is in a surfing festival. You know, I say that Duke is slowly kind of disappeared in time and he's being forgotten. But when you talk to surfers, he is very much alive. And it's one thing that I've been so, it's almost heartwarming because Duke really means so much to me personally that to find an entire community that has always been interested in him. It just made sense when I heard about this film festival. I was like, oh, my gosh. Yeah, this is a great fit. Surfers, I mean, they just light up when they talk about Duke. To see guys like Kelly Slater and Jack Johnson and Kai Lenny and all these fantastic, just otherworldly surfers talk about Duke as if it's someone that they could never even be like, you know, it's just, but that they just love so much too is really special to me. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing to me. And you're right that those guys, those boards they were riding back then, no wonder they were shredded, you know, just the way they looked, because just carrying that thing, holy crap.
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
I can't believe it. You know, and then tandem surfing, like you have no fin on that board. I watched that slow-mo footage of Dwayne over and over again, and he's moving side to side just as much as he's moving forward, trying to keep it going. And then he's holding someone on his shoulders and steering with one foot, and you're just going, what in the world? On a board that's over 100 pounds? You know, I like that. He kept calling it a Cadillac is the way he put it. He said that once you get going, it's like the board goes and tells you where it's going to go. That's how it works.
In a story like this, it seems to me like you've got two movies almost going on in one thing here, because you have the documentary and then you also have the recreations, which is sort of like a movie within a movie. And it must have been a bit of a challenge to think, how am I going to make these little moments and bring them to life and treat them, you know, with the respect they deserve? Because you want to make sure you're staying true to the stories and, you know, what people remembered of this character, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's in... And that's why, you know, Dwayne was so special for us. He was selected by, you know, all the people in the Kaha were like, no, this is your guy. And then we see him on it. It was like, whoa, this is our guy. Because it did take a special person to do it right off the bat. And after that, see, I guess I can let you in one of my little visual secrets I had. It is I wanted Duke to look like Superman. And I'm a big fan of the movie Man of Steel. Mm-hmm. And so if you look at the way Duke is shot in these recreations, I was very specific with my DP and all the guys working with me. I'm like, this is what I need him to look like. I'm going to make it colored like this. I'm going to make him just feel like the hero that I think he really is. You know, especially in the rescue scene in California, which is one scene that I didn't know about, and a lot of people don't know about, how the beginning of how it is the beginning of surfboards as a rescue tool. You know, and lifeguarding in general was Duke shooting through 20-foot waves to save 8 people out of 15 on a shipwrecked boat. And it's one of those scenes where I'm like, I'm just going to make this look awesome, because it is awesome when you read the story And then when you know that even though he just pulled off something where the sheriff in the newspaper is saying, you know, it's superhuman what he pulled off, he wouldn't talk to the press because he felt like a failure. He didn't save everybody.
Hmm.
You know, and so it's really cool. And that starts the folk legend too, because since Duke didn't talk about it, you get people telling the story and they don't always line up, and it just kind of makes it cooler in a way.
You referenced some of the other athletes too, Isaac, who overcame segregation and discrimination to excel in their fields, like Jim Thorpe, for example. So is part of your goal with this film to help bring those achievements from Duke Kahanamoku to a wider audience and sort of elevate them somewhat?
Yeah, it's a good point. It's something I always bring up is I've always believed when people talk about Jackie Robinson, Jesse Owens, Jim Thorpe, you know, even Muhammad Ali and all these great American athletes and world athletes in general that have been just game changers, Duke should be at the center of that conversation with all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because he really did break through color barriers and all these things. And I think we're in an environment nowadays where people like to see someone like that, but they also like to see someone worthy of praise in a different way. And Duke did it in a very different way. It's the one thing with him is the spirit of Aloha was at the center of his message, at the center of everything he did. And it's made him, I think, very different in the sense that, you know, it's hard to have the race issue with a lot of things. People are like, well, I mean, what did he deal with? And like, he just didn't see it. It's like hard to explain this. He saw people. If someone was racist towards him, he saw that person. He didn't see an entire race. And it changed the way he treated people, and in return, it changed the way they treated him, because everyone was an individual, you know. And it's always an interesting thing. So I think that message alone should hopefully help catch people's eye, you know, in the sense that, wait, this guy became the most famous human being in the world at one point, and we don't know about him. It's like that kind of story usually catches wind with a lot of people, and like Kevin was saying, like different stories that people didn't know about. Like you look at Hollywood now, we see The Rock. You know, I love, this is Florida based, by the way, because Florida is like home of The Rock for my family. We love The Rock. Anything The Rock does, we like, or we'll pretend we like. We don't care. So it's just how it works. But it's like, you know, you got The Rock, you got Jason, you got Cliff Curtis, you got Taika Waititi, all these Polynesians that are all over Hollywood, and to know that the first was Duke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one breaking those lines at a time when they would rather paint someone a different color than hire him.
Right.
It was Duke in that era, showing up on movies and movie posters because he was that likable in a time period when racism was rampant. It's a really interesting situation. And we talk a little bit about that in the doc, how people started seeing him as just different because of the way he treated people around him and the way he was just so full of love. And so much Aloha, it was hard to just be mean to him. You know, make him look like Superman for just a day. Then I think I've done my part, hopefully.
Kevin, who do you want to see this movie?
Well, part of this, you know, getting together and having a festival to share others' work from around the world is to make sure our community sees it. But also, we have a jury with the finest surf journalists in the world, Scott Hewlett from the Surfers Journal, Matt Warshaw, Encyclopedia of Surfing. These folks are the folks that I also enjoy sharing this work with. I mean, they would probably see it eventually, but on the big screen, in person, with Isaac there to answer questions and experience, that's what we started it for, and that's what it's all about for me.
Anything else you want to tell people about the film festival this year?
Friday night and Saturday night will be the culmination of the 2021 season. We have another film coming up in February if you can't make this one. So keep your eyes peeled, and we're here to share this hard work from wonderful filmmakers with you. And, you know, it's a blast. It's a good party.
Well, Kevin Miller is the co-founder and executive director of the Florida Surf Film Festival. Kevin, thanks for joining me. Appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you.
And we've also been speaking with Isaac Halasima. He is the director of Waterman, a documentary about two-time Olympic gold medalist Duke Kahanamoku, the father of modern surfing. You can see that documentary at the film festival. Isaac, thanks so much as well.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks for the invite to the film festival. I'm really excited. I love the idea that people are going to get to see a guy that it'll surprise them, you know, and they'll be able to be proud of someone special.